Sharing in the service. Certain amount of trepidation this morning, as I don't know if you've noticed, but to my right there is some stocks, which I don't know whether they're there for the preacher, and we'll see how we go anyway. Hopefully you won't have to use those today. Over the next few weeks leading up to Easter, this is the first Sunday in Lent today, we're going to be looking at some of the I am sayings in the Gospel of John, which Jesus uses of himself. They're colourful, descriptive images that help us in our understanding of the nature and the character of Jesus and all that he has done and is doing for us. And this week, we are looking at this passage from John 10, and you'll notice that there's quite a lot of interplay of imagery between Jesus being the door or the gate, depending on which version you read, and also Jesus being the shepherd. And one of the other Sundays, somebody else is picking up Jesus being the good shepherd, so I won't get into all of that side of the imagery today, but just want to concentrate on the verses which talk about Jesus being the door or the gate. And Jesus was speaking in a context that in the villages in Israel at the time there were communal sheepfolds where at night in the winter time all of the village flocks were sheltered when they returned home. The folds were protected by a strong door of which only the guardian of the door had the key. And Jesus here describes himself as that door, that through him and through him alone are we able to find access to God and to the life that he always wanted for us. And I want to pick up three particular consequences in verses 7 to 10 particularly, for us, the sheep, if we go through Jesus as the gate. And the first one is this, that we will be saved. Because in verse 9 he says, I am the door, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. I think it just begs the question, well, how might we enter the gate? Paul says in Romans, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And for me, it's as if we get to the door and call on the name of Jesus, and he opens that door for us to come into relationship with God. He opens himself, if you like, to enable that to happen. It's entirely a gift of grace that he lets us come into his kingdom. What are we actually being saved from? Yep.
Can I ask a question? In the Bible, Jesus Christ.
I don't actually know which particular verse you're referring to there. Perhaps we can just talk about that afterwards. Is that okay? Okay, well, if you can find that for me, then we can talk about that afterwards. Yeah, well, perhaps we can chat about that afterwards. Okay. So what are we being saved from? In Colossians, Paul states that he has delivered us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. Isaiah describes us as like sheep who have gone astray and turned to our own way. So we're saved from ourselves, we're saved from the consequences of our actions when we've turned our backs on God, and we're saved from the eternal consequences of being cut off from God. These are some of the things that we're saved from. We're saved from death to life. We're saved from condemnation to forgiveness. We're saved from bondage to freedom, from darkness to light, from a lack of direction to a purpose, and from anxiety to peace. So this is God's truth, that in entering the gate, in coming into the kingdom of God, through Jesus as the door, we are saved, and we can know the depth of that salvation in so many ways. But I recognise that whilst we're still on earth, we will not always know and experience that in every situation, that sense of salvation in every encounter we have. We still sin. We still get anxious. We can still lose our way. But I believe that with this image, we can see that Jesus calls us back to the door when those things happen. Through him, we are able to enter into the fruits of his salvation, to call upon him in those moments that we have strayed and receive again his forgiveness and his grace. So the first point is about salvation. The second one I want to mention is about the fact that as a result of Jesus being the gate, his sheep can go in and out and find pasture. Going in and out is about the daily round. It's about the daily comings and goings. So we've entered into life in Jesus, he says, and as we go about our daily business, he will look after us, and as we do this, we will find pasture. We'll find nourishment, contentment, soul food. Psalm 121, we read, "The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in." It was a phrase that Jesus knew well. So he says, "If anyone enters by me, he will go in and out and find pasture." Pasture was actually quite hard to come by in that area for the sheep. A lot of the land they grazed in was very rough, was very dry, was rocky. But there were places of pasture that the shepherds might have constructed themselves and which they led them to. They then found the pasture that they needed. We all have days when it's not very easy for us to find pasture. We are so aware of the challenges around us and in our own situations, maybe in grief or in illness, in loneliness, in pressure at work, or tension in the family, but also that sense of godlessness in the world around us. But I believe that Jesus is saying we can even find pasture in those moments by drawing from him as we go about our daily business. Sometimes it can be helpful, if we can, to draw to one side, to have time out with the Father, to consciously and purposefully come to him in prayer, in meditation. Just in fact, as Jesus did. We read in Matthew that Jesus was clearly affected by the brutality of the death of his cousin, John the Baptist. And Matthew says, when Jesus heard it, he departed from where he was to a lonely place by himself. And I have no doubt at that point, as we read other parts of Scripture, that he's had time to speak to his Father, to have time in prayer and meditation. And then the people managed to track him down, and he was then having to minister again. But he was doing that moved with compassion, Matthew says. He had drawn from the Father, he had had some respite, but then was moved and in a place to show compassion for the people again. In the midst of the godlessness around us, we might feel like despairing and giving up. But he calls us to rest in him, to find pasture, to draw from him, to wait patiently for him. He will nourish you. He will feed you. John Eldridge, in his book Walking with God, says this: when the sheep follow the shepherd, they find pasture. They find life. Life doesn't just magically come to us. We have to make ourselves available to it. There is a lifestyle that allows us to receive the life of God. I know that if I will live more intimately with Jesus and follow his voice, I will have a much better chance of finding the life I long for. So, salvation, coming in and out and finding pasture. And then the third consequence that we read here of Jesus being the gate is that we can, if we enter by him, we will have, he says, abundant life. He says, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. What does abundant life mean? I think it means not just existing, but living, not just here, but forever. is not a life that leads to destruction, but one that is characterized by fulfillment and joy. And Jesus talks about the thieves, and there are many thieves that masquerade as offering life. Jesus was warning against false prophets and teachers at the time who bound the people up in religious rules and regulations which stifled the life out of them. But other thieves today might be materialism, they might be celebrity, maybe seeking intellectual prowess or perfecting how we look. But ultimately, where does all that lead? At my uncle's funeral on Wednesday this week, in the address, the pastor posed the question as to whether Colin's intellect or his possessions, including his hundreds of books, would be of any benefit to Colin as he died. What counted in the end was the relationship that Colin had with God by entering into his kingdom through Jesus. And as the pastor said, what he had then done with his life. I'm interested that the Greek word used here for abundant is a word which I don't know whether it's pronounced like this, but perissos. And what it actually means is superabundance. It means over and above. It means overflowing, more than sufficient. And you may well say, well, life that is sufficient would be enough. We don't really need overflowing life, more than sufficient. But in offering perissos life, Jesus is saying, this abundance is not just for you. The life is life to share, is life to give. In Psalm 23, David presents a picture of God anointing his head with oil so that his cup runs over. God is blessing us with abundant life to bless others so that we have life to pass on to others. I've really enjoyed the Paraclesis series that we've just completed, and this sense of God coming alongside us so that we can have the strength and compassion to get alongside others, particularly out of the experiences that we have had. And if you haven't been able to yet, I'd just encourage you to complete the daily guide, particularly the Gift of Your Journey exercise right at the end. In the guide towards the end, Trevor Partridge relates the story of a little girl on her way home from church, saying to her mum, "Mum, I've been thinking, this morning my teacher at Sunday school said, God is bigger than we are. Is that true?" Her mum says, "Yes, that's true." "He also said that God lives within us. Is that true too?" Again, the mother replied, "Yes, it is." "Well," said the little girl, "if God is bigger than us and he lives in us, wouldn't he show through?" Quite a challenging thought. Does God show through in our lives? Are we living the abundant life that Jesus said is for us so that we can overflow with life and love for others as well? Now Jesus said, "I am the door, I am the gate of the sheep. He is the door that leads to salvation, that enables us as his sheep to go in and out and find pasture, and through whom we can have life and have it in all its abundance." Just in closing, as I was praying this morning, just had a sense that God wanted to bring a further word, because for some of us, there will be doors that we will find difficult in our lives. There may be doors, I'm talking about real doors, maybe doors that we're frightened to go through, or we're concerned what's on the other side. Or they represent blockages in our lives. Maybe things in the past, but particularly things maybe coming up. It might be a door of a hospital room or a door in our house. And I just sensed that God was wanting to speak to us about those doors this morning and to bring to mind those moments when perhaps we have to face going through those doors, to just take a moment to realize that Jesus is that door, that he is the door through whom we can go, that even though doors that we might have to go through just bring a sense of real fear and anxiety, that Jesus wants to bring a sense of his peace as he is that door. So I'd just like to pray for us as I close. Lord, I want to pray for each one of us this morning. You know the things in our lives that cause us particular difficulty and anxiety, the things that have happened in the past, the things that we have to face in the future, and maybe for others that we can think of now who will be struggling with doors that are closed to them. We pray, Lord, that as we approach those moments or those things that we're particularly concerned about, that you would be the door, Lord, you would be the gate that brings freedom and brings relief and brings peace, and that we might indeed, as we go through those doors, find pasture and nourishment and a sense of your life, your abundant life in our lives. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.